So as you turn in there, I'll try to provide you with some background or context. So we're in Job. He was very wealthy and had all the flocks and large seven kids. And God has struck him down, and he lost everything he had. And then he enters this 7 days of silence with his three friends, Zophar, Eliphaz, and Bildad, sitting there with him, just straight silence, 7 days. Job finally breaks the silence and start kind of conversating, I guess. They call it three series of speeches they have, and just everybody takes their turns, trying to make sense of the situation and tragedy that had happened, or try to put a reasoning to it. Job 21, starting at verse 23, is just Job's reply to Zophar at the end of the second series of speeches. And so we'll go ahead and read, if you would stand with me for reverence, please. God's word. Starting in verse 23, it says, "One dieth in his full strength, being holy, at ease, and quiet. His breasts are full of milk, and his bones are moistened with marrow. And another dieth in the bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure. They shall lie down alike in the dust, and the worms shall cover them." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for giving us the freedom to gather here, Lord. And God, that we never take it for granted, this fellowship that we have, Lord. And God, we just thank you for sending your Son to die for us, Lord, and that we have eternal life through him. And we pray that you'd give us strength and boldness to carry out your commandments as we read about them, and Lord, and that you would give us knowledge to further understand your word, God. I just pray that we give you all the glory and honor from it, Lord, and that we're simply just servants following after your will, God. I just pray that you soften hearts from the Operation X trip that we had connections with, and that you just continue to work on those, and that you would reveal to them their need for salvation, God. We just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I did a little research before, and kind of just regarding the names. And so we have Zophar. In Hebrew, it means kind of chirping, rising early. Bildad is beloved Lord. Comes from Bel, B-E-L, but is also connected to Baal, B-A-A-L. Eliphaz in Hebrew is my God is gold. And Eliphaz was also Esau's son. And then Job means persecuted one. And so throughout their talking, all of Job's so-called friends, I guess, are sitting with him. They just tell him, "Man, Job, I guess you're not as good and righteous as you claim to be or you thought you were, because if you were, then this wouldn't be happening." And Job kind of tells him he's tired of it, and describes it as futile comfort, and their answers are deceptive at the end of chapter 21. And Job never bends to their accusations. Says that God has put his hand of wrath upon me and will not loosen his grip. Earlier in Job, whenever he starts replying to him, he says he wishes he'd never been born, because it'd be better than this hurt. And y'all stay with me. Job 121 says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life." And Ecclesiastes 3:20 says, "All are going to the same place. All come from dust, and all return to dust." And so we all know that we're going to die eventually, but for some of us, it's just everyone is earthly bodies, but some of us, it's only our souls are going to die. And if we know Jesus as Savior, then we know that we have eternal life in heaven. And so through us evangelizing, we're sharing the love of Jesus through us being servants to others, and so they can see that same love. You know, this morning in Sunday school, talked about lifestyle evangelism and says somebody might see that you live, that you go to church and you show love to others and you take care of the needy, the widows, and the poor, but nobody's going to say, man, I'm a wicked sinner that needs salvation just from you doing that lifestyle. And so somebody has to tell them, see in Romans, that Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And, you know, in John 3:19, where men love darkness rather than light, that's very evident in Portland. That's, I mean, you see news about San Francisco and just the homeless communities there, but parts of Portland were the same way. And so our jobs as believers is to go out and share that good news everywhere we go, the Great Commission. And listen, if somebody, if summer's hot, somebody sweated a whole bunch, and some reason they just wring it all out, got it in a cup, it's clear, kind of liquidy maybe, looks like water, and you're hot, come in, not thinking a whole lot, you're really hot, I guess, and you just take a sip, but as soon as you sip it, you know that it's not water, tastes bitter, not the same, spit it out. And on the streets evangelizing, and just here you can see kind of the same sort of deception. If somebody has a cross necklace on, you're like, oh man, they must be a good Christian. So wearing it out where everyone can see. But then, this is a true story, talk to somebody. It's like, what's that cross mean to you? Oh, I don't know. I just look cool. Thought I would. This is just a fashion thing. And so, sort of like some of the homeless gentlemen that we talked to that were true believers. And so through that analogy, I guess, is just not to judge a book by its cover, because, you know, internally can be a lot different than what they show externally. And to never be satisfied with just saying, oh, they look like a believer, let's keep walking and go, I'm sure they'll be all right, or somebody else will get them. But, you know, it's our job. And hopefully, I mean, I've prayed for it before, just that I would feel convicted to go and not let anybody pass by without. And first off, it started with just a fear of actually telling them, and then it turned into a fear of the Lord, you know, like Brother Isaac said, and we talked about in Seattle, the rocks would cry out, and the stones. And, you know, if you take something from Operation X, if some goofy college kids, man, some of them was goofy, we had to watch their necks, then so can everyone, I think. We can all tell our friends, our coworkers, about Jesus. At Seaside, while we was preaching, there was hotels, tall buildings around, and these two ladies were up there, and they heard Brother Adam preaching, and somehow ran into him later. I guess they came down. We was in one of the shops, and she was like, yeah, I heard you preaching, and I got to witness to my coworker through that. And so God's always working is what you also need to realize, and that you can't always see the fruit of what's going to happen, but have to just go and plant the seeds and act in obedience. Amen. And something that helps me out, or one of our girls got really down while we was in Portland, because the first part of Portland was rough. that first the morning of, and I had read this Psalm 42 in Seaside, or maybe on the way to Portland, because I was just getting worried about getting to Portland, I guess. And I pulled up Psalm 42 on my phone, went and gave it to her. She read it, came back, boosted her spirits. But I read Psalm 42 or Psalm 46:10, just be still and know that I am God. And that they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God and the truth. And so don't take anything personal. And but I think one of the things that I've came to realize, and one of the areas that I've grown, is that if you truly love someone, then you're going to tell them the truth. And because you know what happens to them if you don't tell them the truth. And so John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And go on in verse 14, says, we are his friends if we do what he has commanded us to do. And, you know, sometimes, if we're keeping it real, I get worried. Sometimes our MBSF, we go and evangelize in the student union during lunch. And if I'm in a bad mood or have a class later, or the class I just got out of went bad, then I'll go. But sometimes I'm like, man, where's somebody that's just going to straight reject me? Like, I'm doing, I'm serving, but maybe don't want to have a deep conversation with them at the time. But, you know, sometimes that's getting me scared. But other times, it's like, I'm sure all the other ideas of fear that's popping in your head, like the rejection of us, or Seattle, or Portland was very real for your life, or health. But all the other fears are just small, and just can't even hold a penny to what the truth is. And so God takes care of all those fears, and that fear is just the devil trying to creep in and prevent Lord's word from happening. And Matthew 6:27, can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And so that's a verse that speaks volumes, I guess, because that's something that, I don't know, worry a lot about going out and talking to others, or just day-to-day life. And, you know, I was worried on the way here. I didn't know what exactly I was going to say, but I know that it's not the words that I say that's going to convict you, but it's just my obedience, and then the God is going to convict you. And that's not my job to do. It's not any of our jobs, because we know that we can't do that, or have that, we don't hold that power. And so hopefully this was an encouragement. And again, just thank you guys for all your support. And MBSF is going great. Excited for another year. Grew drastically last year. And can't wait to see where it goes. Hopefully keep you guys updated.